Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. Holy shit, we made it to episode 10. Can you believe that? 10 episodes.
Wow.
It's exciting.
I am your gaming gal, Kalai, and I am joined by the Teenage Mutant Ninja himself, Joe.
No, McNuggets are fucking awesome.
And the grounded one, Corey.
How are you guys doing today?
Can you guys believe this? Episode 10? Really?
I don't know. Wow, that's 10 more than I thought we'd make. Oh, wait. No, it's not.
Good job. Good job, Joe.
Okay, so Corey, what have you been playing this week? Tell us, regale us of your tales.
This week, what have I been playing? Shit. Now I gotta think about it. Titanfall 2. Lots of Titanfall 2. I ended up picking it up on the sale we just had. It was like $15. What a great game. The story mode is actually good for a shooter. And plus the multiplayer with the idea of not having to purchase a season pass, it's fantastic. So that's always good. The other thing I played, I tried to play Killing Floor 2 for like 5 seconds and then instantly died. And then I left.
Still trying to get that plat?
I'm still trying to get that plat, but it seems a lot of people that have the plat have glitched out the level in order to earn that plat or have a team of really dedicated people. I don't have dedicated people. I have to beat.
How do you glitch out the level?
Because there's certain parts in the game where there's objects where you can hide behind an object and the enemies don't see you. And so what you do is they basically come out and they start hurting each other a little bit, and then you can just shoot them, and then they just die, and then you run out, get ammo, run back to your little corner, and then you continuously do it until you beat it. The only problem is that every time they come out with one, it gets patched pretty quickly, so people continuously search for it. So. The only ones I'm missing so far for the Platinum is complete on survival mode, which is the one step above hard, and then complete on Hell on Earth, which is 2 steps above hard. My level 25 character, if I get butt rushed by zombies and have 5 zombies hitting me, I survive about 4.5 seconds before I die. So it just goes to show of how much you really do need an actual team that knows what they're doing. So you have to have a dedicated medic, you have to have a dedicated person that's providing ammo, you have to have a dedicated person that's just doing damage. You have to have a very dedicated team, and I don't have that. I'm all alone, so either A, I'm just going to continue playing matches and matches and matches until that happens, or B, I will wait until someone comes up with a glitch and then do that, because that seems like the better idea. And then the only other thing I was playing is we did do our charity stream this last weekend, when this episode comes out, technically it will be 2 weekends ago we did our charity stream. good old recording episodes. We did our charity stream and I played Fortnite Battlegrounds and actually placed first. I was quite excited. So I played that.
That was thanks to me.
Maybe.
No.
Yes, actually, because I was watching the stream, and I'm like, what are you doing, Corey? You're hiding in a fucking building. That's boring. Get your ass out there and do some fucking damage. And what do you know? He wound up being first. Just saying.
And then after that, I continuously lost worse and worse and worse, then I gave up, because literally I went from being first to then being 16th to then being 32nd. And then 56.
Damn.
And then 86.
Damn, 56?
Yeah, and I'm done.
This fucking mag, like a million people can play at once.
Yeah, and then I'm done. I'm like, I'm not. And then I played a little bit of Color Gardens because Joe kept on talking about it.
Game's fucking awesome.
And I'm like, I can't do this with full concentration. I need to be distracted with something else to play this game because it's just too much. And then other than that, there wasn't much else that I played this week. It's been a pretty uneventful week for playing things. I very tempted to pick up Destiny 2, but it's a thought. And then with Final Fantasy 9 just being released, I'm kind of really wanting to pick up that and play that game, because I've never actually beat Final Fantasy 9. The only Final Fantasy games I've ever beat is 7 and 15. Yet I've played every other one.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I've played every other one up to like Final Fantasy 9. I was in the trials, I think. So it's where you get to disc 3, where you actually have to complete the trials in each tower. And the problem was, is I had leveled up a team that didn't work properly. And so as soon as I got forced into a party that didn't work, I think I had to have Steiner in my party, and Steiner was like super ass weak because I had never used Steiner before.
Dude, Steiner's the man.
No, I know, that's magic, what I'm saying.
Magic sword? Come on, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I didn't have Steiner at a level, so when I all of a sudden I had to go in the trials, I have Steiner that's 20 levels lower than everybody else, and it kind of just, yeah, didn't work. So I want to replay it and play it properly, not use the boosts that are available, and actually get it done. So that's the plan. That's the hope. And now because of everyone on Twitter, I now have to buy I Am Mayo and get the Mayo Platinums, because I guess everyone says hashtag needs the Mayo, so...
While eating a Mayo sandwich, right?
No, ew, fuck that.
I did say that I was going
to
eat a Mayo
sandwich. I will not subject you to that, because I'm not watching that on a stream, so... Or being a part of that, and I want to be a part of this stream big time, so...
Okay, since that's all you've been playing, Joe, what have you been playing?
Fuck ton. Since I haven't been here in 2 weeks, a lot.
Oh, that's right, you weren't here for our last episode.
No, so let's catch everybody up. I actually had my wedding anniversary, like, a week ago, and my wife bought me a PlayStation Now subscription for a year for our anniversary, and I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome, I can go play all these games.
Wait, I have a question for you. Being sure. Married and having to actually celebrate, you know, anniversaries and shit.
Yeah.
Did you just want to not celebrate your anniversary to play games? Because that would have been me.
No. I like going out to eat, so. And I love my wife, so no.
Oh. I keep trying to get out of my anniversary. It fails every year.
I mean, it's our anniversary. I can put the controller down for a day. It's one day. Anyway, so I got a PlayStation Now. I like it. I had it before. I think I had it for 3 or 4 months, and then I was like, I'm not going to renew this again. It was kind of like when I got Gamefly back in the day, and I was like, all right, I'm going to get Gamefly, and I'm going to rent all the easy games, and I'm going to get all the trophies or achievements I can, and then I'm going to return them. But PlayStation Now is really good, because unlike most of you two, I didn't have a PlayStation 3, so I missed that entire generation of gaming for PlayStation. So it's good to go back and play all those games, which leads me to my rant. Why the fuck doesn't Infamous have a fucking trophy list on PlayStation Now? I want to play Infamous, but I'm not playing that shit if I'm not getting trophies. Fuck that. I don't play PlayStation games if I'm not getting trophies. This is just how it works. Like, no. So, Infamous, you can go fuck yourself on PlayStation Now. Because the game was patched with trophy support, so I know they're there. Because I looked for an hour. And I looked on Google, and I couldn't find the goddamn fucking answer. So, Sony, what's going on? Like, why aren't the trophies there? And it's not just that game. There's other games that do it, too. And it really fucking... It grinds my gears. Like, if I was Peter Griffin, I'd be like, this grinds my gears. Seriously. Because why the fuck are there no trophy support for these games? Like, I didn't buy a service so I cannot so I can play a game that doesn't have trophies. This isn't fucking 2004. I want trophy support on my games. Seriously. Fuck. Alright, rant over. So other than that, Corey got to listen to me play Color Guardians during the stream.
God, that was hilarious.
And I must have used every foul word I've ever said in my life, because I couldn't beat the last boss for like an hour and a half. You can ask Corey.
I got part of that stream.
Yeah, and I actually looked online because I got so pissed off, and there was actually a glitch to beat the boss. So I was like, fuck this. And I just used the glitch to beat him. And so here's your, I guess I'm not going to say Sophie's trophy because it's not, but here's your tip of the day. Your tip of the day is if you're playing Color Guardians and you're stuck on the last boss because he's fucking cheap, you can pause the game after you hit the boss the first time, you can pause the game when the bat flies to the top, and he's almost at the top of the screen. Pause your game, unpause it, then the shields get stuck in place. So when you hit him the next time, it goes through the shield and automatically hits him. And if you time it right twice, then you could just beat him in like 5 seconds. So I wasted like an hour and a half of my life trying to beat this boss, and then found out there was a glitch, and I could beat him in 4 fucking seconds. So I was irate. Ask Corey. I was very fucking.
It was hilarious.
I was mad.
I was pretty. I was just ready to hear something fly across the room, and next thing you know, it'd be his controller or something. And
well, I was like, what the hell is with this difficulty spike? The entire game was easy up to then. To that point. So easy that when I told Corey it was a good game and he should go play it, he's like, this is way too fucking easy. He's like, I need alcohol to play this game or something to distract
alcohol,
me.
Just something to distract me. I mean, it's just, it was to the point of where it's just, to get to where you need to be, unless I really want to go for the platinum, to beat the game itself, I'm,
like I said, if you get 2 stars in every level, you'd still get the platinum.
Yeah, and see, for me, I'm too much of a person that...
I
have to try to get all of them. I can't just... I hate games where they give you a star system because I have to get 3 stars, especially if I'm 2 or 3 away. So I'm not sitting there purposely... It's not taking me forever because of... I don't have to sit there and distract myself just so I can play the game and, you know, beat it. It's because literally if I continue to concentrate so much, I'm going to want to do 3 stars every single time. And doing 3 stars in that game is such a pain in the ass because they literally... 3 stars is a perfect round. It's not like it's like, oh, here's your 3 stars for doing pretty good. No, it's bullshit. They only do it if you get everything perfect and whatever.
It is so fucking annoying.
So you miss one thing and it's like, oh, I'm going to seriously...
It really is cheap that you can't miss a single one. And I think, do you have to perfect them all too, or do you just have to grab them?
You have to perfect them.
I think you
them.
Just have to...
No, you have to perfect them. That's what I'm saying.
To get 3 stars?
To get 3 stars. Because I was 2 points off, and I missed, like, one. And I was so pissed off.
And you didn't even get that trophy, did you, for missing one, did you?
I tried to get the trophy for missing one. Doing everything but one. But basically what the game did, as I was going through the game, I did the first level. I'm like, I'll just run through the first level. It forces you to grab one. You have to be...
You grab the last one. Yeah, you have to grab that last big
and
one.
So, in the first level, though, you're forced to also grab another one.
You
no,
heard it
you
here, folks.
If you switch colors, you can...
You've heard it here, folks. They had to grab the big one.
We did have to grab the big one.
And then, other than that, I was playing Etrian Odyssey on the 3DS, because I love that series, and I'm replaying...
Isn't that Eternity of Odyssey? Eternity?
No, it's Etrian Odyssey.
Etrian Odyssey?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't. Apparently, I can't read.
You can't. It's okay. You also can't buy Final Fantasy games without fucking up either, so.
Yeah, I got that.
Zing.
You're never going to live that down.
I am not.
That was great.
I deserve that.
That was so
great. This is a really funny story. Did you tell it on the show yet?
Yeah, we did.
I told it last week on the show, and it's even worse because of the GameStop woman I had to deal with to get this game.
Oh my god, seriously? I'm so sorry.
Just to give you a tidbit, you'll have to go listen to the episode, but she said, oh yeah, you're going to love this game, and she's ringing me up for Final Fantasy III. She's handing me Final Fantasy Explorers.
Oh, for 3DS.
And then she gave you Kingdom Hearts.
Explorers is fun, though. Explorers is like a Monster Hunter clone.
I had the collector's edition. I don't need it again.
Wasn't it she tried to sell you Kingdom Hearts as well?
Yes, she also tried to sell me Kingdom Hearts. She couldn't even sell me the right game.
Apparently, you're a girl, so she's like, you like Kingdom Hearts. She'll punch you in the face.
Go listen to the last episode where I talk about that.
I can't, because it doesn't come out till tomorrow.
Or today.
I meant for our listeners. I'm trying to advertise our show here, buddy.
Good job, Joe.
Anyways, let's talk about what I've been playing.
I'm not done yet.
Oh,
please.
Jesus Christ. You're
cut me off.
Well, the rage is real.
And then I played a shit ton of Resident Evil 5. Because I'm going for that 50% of the trophies. And I did it last night. I collected almost everything in that game. And so I missed like 3 treasures. And I didn't save... I guess I collected them, but then I died, and then I didn't recollect them, so they didn't count, and I don't know which ones they are, so fuck that game. I'm done. Because I'm not going to try and go through a list and figure out every treasure I missed. But I don't know. I might. I love that game. Like, Resident Evil 5 is a good game. I don't want to get so much hate.
Do you hear that, Daryl? He said, fuck Resident Evil.
No, I didn't. I said, fuck that game because I missed trophies. I love Resident Evil. Don't let it get twisted, Daryl. Shout out to Resident Daryl. Yeah, but anyway. Yeah, I really love Resident Evil 5. It's a great game. Everyone should play it. Fuck the haters. Everyone bought it anyway. It's like the highest selling Resident Evil, isn't it?
I didn't buy it. I think 4 when it was released, if you count both of them, I think 4 is still...
No, I still think 5 outsold it.
I've never played a Resident Evil game.
You haven't lived.
What? You've never played a Resident Evil game?
You haven't.
Alright, hashtag Kalai needs to get Resident Evil.
Like, I have Resident Evil 1.
Well, you need to play them all. All because of them. Every single one.
Is it my turn to talk about what I've been playing?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, I played a little bit of Final Fantasy 6. I got to Vargas. He kicked my ass. I
was actual like, 6 or 3?
No, 6.
Are you sure this time?
I'll be positive. And I also played...
Oh, Vargas kicked your ass?
Yeah, Vargas kicked my ass.
Really? Alright, you're in for some trouble then. You need to just grind. Just grind.
I know. That's what the problem with the Final Fantasy series are. The older ones, you have to just grind, and I just don't get it.
No, I mean, it depends.
That's every JRPG, Kalai.
Yeah, except for Persona. Mostly all the classic ones.
Except for Persona. Persona 4 and 5.
You don't really have to grind 6 either.
15, you really didn't grind.
You don't really have to grind at 15, because the way the game 15, is constructed.
There's.
Unless you suck like I do. I grinded in 15. Because I hate the fucking mechanics in that game.
So I actually downloaded Octopath Traveler, the new game on the Switch.
Any good?
Demo. Oh my god. It's really, really role-playing heavy. It's story heavy. And it is amazing. I'm playing the Dancer right now. Ooh. And yes, it is. You get to lure people away. So you have to go lure a customer to the dance parlor because you pissed off your master. And nice. I didn't realize it was a specific person, so I'm just luring people, and I'm like, just go in there. Why won't you go into the club? Go spend money.
Now I have a question. Does the progress from this demo carry on to the main game when it comes out?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure how much of the stories bleed over, because they didn't really talk about that. Right now, we're kind of getting the background stories of these characters, and I think we only got 2 of the characters that we can play. You get to play the Dancer and the Champion.
Okay.
So, I do have to say that this is not for children. It is very adult-themed.
Not every Switch game is for a child. Which I think is good.
I think that is good.
I do think it's very good. I think that with the Nintendo Direct, I think it's really going to be putting Nintendo into a positive...
I mean, as much as they fucked up at that Direct, they still showed that there's a wide variety of games coming to the system. And I think that's, like, the best thing you can take away from that conference, if it's the only thing you can take away from that conference, is that they made positive strides to say that, here are your third-party games. Stop bitching at us. We got support. But my thing is, like, okay, you got support. That's fine. You had support for the Wii U, too. And then look what happened after 2 years. You had no support. So show me you can consistently keep that support. There was no
support. You're talking about the people supporting it, or the... Publishers, there was no support.
No, publishers. Publishers supported it for 2 years. You got a year to 2 years of solid good games on that thing. And then after that, everyone was like, peace, fuck this console.
I don't think they ever got a year in general of good games on the Wii U.
So we're going to see, I think...
A bunch of Ubisoft ports.
I think we're going to revisit that in 6 months and see how it's doing again. I think we should do another 6-month update, but...
We can do that.
I was thinking with the way Nintendo's directing, because I said a statement in the last episode. I said that Nintendo is marketing the Switch more to adults with games like Doom and Wolfenstein and Resident Evil.
I think it's too high-end for it to be marketed towards kids. Anyway, just the technology that's in that thing, just the way it looks, the sleek design of it. I don't really think it really, you know, caters to kids. Plus, most kids that I know really just are into tablets. They're not even into handhelds anymore. They're not into the Switch. It's handheld gaming has really died off as far as kids go. Like, I don't see any of my nieces or nephews carrying around 3DSs anymore.
So that's why what I wanted to talk about this episode, Joe, actually. I wanted to talk about, if you have a child, how do you get that child into gaming? Like, what games are there for children these days?
Super Mario.
Since we have systems like the Switch and the Xbox One and the PS4 Pro, those aren't for children.
So, I mean, you take everything with a grain of salt, though. Like, you have to examine everything as a parent. Like, I'm a parent now, and, like, the content that my child sees, like, obviously, at her age now, she's not really going to understand much of what she's seeing, or it's not really going to affect her, but in a few years, it will. And I have to monitor that content and make sure that what I'm showing her is appropriate, but at the same time, not just be like, oh, you can only play e-games, and, like, limit her experience to just, you know, basically, like, kids games, as you would call them. I mean, I hate the term kids games because I feel like games are made for everyone. Like, and that moniker of calling them kids games is really the same as calling something like, oh man, that's for shooter fans, or that's only jocks buy Call of Duty, or only jocks, they're the people that buy Madden and Call of Duty, and that's all they buy. Like, I just think that's the same thing for people that buy and enjoy kids games. Like, everyone should be able to play everything. Like, Mario is technically a kid's game, but Mario, like, pretty much Mario caters to a large audience. Like, everybody who buys a Switch is going to buy Odyssey. Like, that's, it looks fantastic.
Well, for me personally, when I say kid's games, I'm not talking about things like Mario. Because when I grew up, when I was 4 or 5, my father got an IBM computer. And I got to play games on it. It wasn't for me. It was, you know, back then, which was 1980.
Did you play Reader Rabbit?
What's that?
Would you play Reader Rabbit on that thing?
Stuff like that, exactly.
Reader Rabbit, Carmen Sandiego. Target
to children that actually taught your ABCs, your 1, 2, 3s.
I don't think video games are in a state to be teaching people ABCs and 1, 2, 3s anymore. That's we have the internet for that. We have Google for that. We have apps for that. Like, that's not.
That's actually what I was going to say. I was going to say, what about tablets? Tablets for children.
Oh, definitely. So
if you want to get your kids into gaming, what?
No, Leapfrog.
No. I'm just saying, exactly. Leapfrog has built their own tablet to do that. That's.
Oh kind yeah, of, yeah, yeah.
They have their own app too. Yeah, and they have their own app as well.
But those are the types. That's what got me into gaming. That's how I learned my ABCs, my 1, 2, 3s. Except mine was a little bit more basic.
I learned on Sesame Street for the Super Nintendo. Of course,
when I was 4 or 5 years old, the gaming was so relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
We only had things like Pong. My father also gave me Leisure Shoot Larry because he got a copy of that not knowing what it was.
Sounds fantastic.
That sounds like the greatest dad ever.
Did you ever hear what they actually put into, like, I think it was number 2 and 3, what they actually did so that you couldn't play the game? I don't know if you guys ever, because
I think I do know what you're talking about, yes. But I can't remember.
Yeah, so my buddy, he ended up picking up these games. This is when I was younger, so it wasn't that bad. But I mean, we're talking about when the games themselves were, I was 12, so 15 years ago, so 2002. So I mean, we were downloading them off the internet, putting them on our computer. The thing is that what they did in 2 and 3 is they had it so that to play the game, you had to have a code. And the only way to get the code was in the instruction manual. So not only did you have to learn how to read as a young child, you also had to know, you had to have the instruction manual. So if all of a sudden you went on the computer and then you just tried to play the game, it would be like, okay, what is whoever's phone number, and you'd have to, in the instruction manual, would have 9 girls that were in the game, and they would have their phone numbers in it, and you had to put the phone number into the game in order to unlock the game. But if your dad all of a sudden hid the instruction manual, you were then stuck to where you're like, oh crap, I've got the game, I can open it, but it wouldn't let you play anything. So that was an interesting mechanic that they,
yeah, but at least you had internet at that point.
Yes, so I grew up, I mean, for me, Nintendo was what I grew up on, so That's
right.
I learned my math from Donkey Kong.
I learned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 from, what was it? Count, from Sesame Street. Trying to remember.
Count Dracula.
Yeah, Count Dracula.
What?
One! Two!
Yeah,
they had a Nintendo three,
game, and that was like one of the only games I could beat at the age of four. So.
Which game was awesome? I had that game.
It's a good game.
The other game that's really good for children these days, and I highly recommend, is Minecraft.
No.
It's a gateway drug.
It is a gateway drug. I don't know. It depends on what we're teaching, I guess, and the idea of it. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? Like, what is it that we want? If I was to have my own kids, like, if I had a child today, I wanted to get them started into gaming, what would I give them? In all honesty, I would probably do it the same way I did it, because I see games from a perspective of there are many ways to teach education-wise, like tablets, like we talk about tablets and stuff like that, but really, in all honesty, if I'm going to teach someone how to game, I'm going to teach them how to game based on the idea of, you know, dexterity and looking at something and memorizing the controller and things like that. And that's where I would almost buy an NES Classic or find a regular NES and just start right from the basic. Because
start from the ground up.
Because I find the problem when you get something into Minecraft, I'm not saying it's a bad game for kids. I think as a game for kids, it's great. It makes sense. The problem that runs into that is there's a lot of things that can happen in that game, depending on your child, and especially with this day and age, that I don't want my kid all of a sudden spawning into a world where someone's built a giant penis that sperms all over them, and then they call me in and go, "Hey, Dad, what's this thing?" And I look up, and there's this giant penis floating in the middle of the air, shooting jizzle over the character. And I'm laughing away, and they try to... Now I have to explain at the age of three of what my child, what a penis is, and what the white stuff is.
Right. So you can actually not... You can actually just not let your child play online.
But that's the whole, that's what I'm getting at. See, so the thing is if I give them access to something like Minecraft, it opens it to the possibility. Kids are smart nowadays. They could, if I'm getting that kid a tablet at the age of two, by the age of five, that kid's going to probably like be designing hacks on like hacking into my PC through a USB and like redesigning his little toy phone to actually work as a real phone. My kid's going to be smart. That kid's going to do like amazing things. So when it comes down to it, that's where... If I give the option of the internet, like this is the, I have it all the time where I talk to people right now where it's not Minecraft, it's the other one that's like Minecraft, but it's supposed to be for kids. It's like literally designed for kids.
Roblox?
That's it. And
I hate that game.
You wouldn't believe the amount of people that I talk to. Like I talk to parents on it and they're like, "Yeah, I don't let my kid play that." And I'm like, "Well, why not?" And they're like, "Well, I've heard a lot of weird things," and I'm like, weird things.
There's
like
man predators down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and there's like man predators. And I'm like, so for me personally, if I'm going to get my kid started in video games, I'm going to get it started with the idea that they're not going to be able to play online. I think online, as soon as you give them an introduction into online, I think it's a terrible thing. And that's where for Minecraft, I think it's great, but it wouldn't be the first game for kids. I'm not arguing that's a great game for kids. It's still a good game for kids. It's the idea that they get freedom and buildability and be able to do their own thing. I think it's great for that, but I would never start out that way.
Well, I mean, it's coming to the 3DS right there. The 3DS almost came out and put online. Yeah. But the other thing I've heard parents with the Minecraft is that kids are learning to read from the game because they still want to build things and they still want to advance things, that the only way they can do it is looking up guides, and it's teaching kids how to read. So Minecraft not only teaches kids math and how to build, but also how to read.
That's cool. I mean, I'm down for that.
Yeah, and I'm down for that too. And that's like I say, but the like I say, where the only issue I have with that is that I am now trusting that the internet's not going to deviate my child in some way, shape, or form from the idea.
But there's parent controls.
I know there is. There's parent controls.
Child's going to get it one way or another.
The child's going to get it either way. And like I say, Minecraft, I think, is really good for that. And that's where like from a perspective of what the first thing I would get them to play, wouldn't it be Minecraft?
Nah, mine would be Ninja Turtles for the Super Nintendo. Let's go. It's two-player co-op. Let's beat up some Foot Clan members. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't... Like I said, for me, it would just be the old games. And like I say, that's where if you want to get them to read, I mean, heck, give them a Final Fantasy game.
That's how I learned to read.
Yep. That's where I did too.
Right.
My mom was like, "I'm not telling you what it says. Learn to read." It's exactly what she told me. She's like, "I'm not telling you."
That's pretty funny.
She's like, "Learn to read it. If you want to play these games, you need to learn to read."
Well, I think so, like, okay. And that's where the other thing comes in, right? And something like that in a game like we think of like Final Fantasy VI, because you're talking about it now. I remember playing that game, but it also gets the child interested in the idea of worlds and reading and stories, right?
Fantasy. reality.
Exactly. Like Minecraft, it builds my child. Yes, it's great that they want to learn how to read to do things. It also brings an addiction because they want to be like their friends. They got to build certain things. Whereas,
I think games in general bring an addiction. Anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. I think any game brings an
addiction.
I
suffer every day from the addiction.
I suffer every day too.
I mean,
it's Legos.
My name is Joe.
How is that any different than Legos?
Lego games or Lego, like, building blocks? Like, physical building
Lego
blocks?
Lego building blocks.
Anything can be addicting, but, like, let's not get too off topic. Like, anything can become addicting.
Yeah,
anything.
I agree with that. I mean, anything can. And, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's the idea that anything could become addictive in a way. And, like, it's more or less just from... I think Minecraft's a great game for kids. I just would
it's
give it...
It's the gateway drug.
I would
for
give
me,
it,
it's
I would
really
give it
the
to
gateway
like,
drug to
would, for example, I think the proper age for that would be, like, 8 or 9.
Did you hear me? It's the gateway drug to WoW. It really is.
My child never has access to WoW, if that ever becomes...
I hope WoW's dead by the time my child plays games.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I hope it just dies off.
It should be dead. I don't get it. Like, I don't get the mass appeal. It's kind of why I don't like Destiny, though, but let's not get into that right now, either, because...
Really, that's a whole different
It's a whole different ball of wax.
The other type of games I was thinking about was, like, Portal. Did you guys play Portal?
I'd like Portal. I could play Portal. I'm not going to play Portal for too long, though. I need more story. I need more interaction with characters.
We're talking about as a kid game?
Portal would frustrate the fuck out of some kids.
Well, no, I think Portal would.
It teaches physics.
It does the
rudimentary physics that don't.
I'm just trying to remember the idea of. I guess it's not actually that bad when we talk about it from a like adult perspective. I don't think there's anything in Portal that's. I mean, other than the ending.
Murder.
Yeah, other than the ending. It'd be
a
nice
sadistic plot twist.
I'm talking about older kids. Like if I got to play Portal when I was in high school. College?
Oh yeah, well, I mean
physics a lot more interesting.
I don't think they're gonna pass along physics by playing Portal. I just don't see it.
I think games like that are good just for the idea of thinking, though. Like just thinking games. Like
I agree.
And
all
keeps
honesty, you sharp.
There's a reason why I play Magic the Gathering, and it's not because I like to like spend half my paycheck every month on cards that are pieces of cardboard.
Not video games.
It's the idea of I like taking all of my memory and or like all my mind power and using it on one thing. And when you're playing Magic especially, it's the idea that it's a game that's built to make you think. It's not a game that's meant to be just mindless and play.
No, Magic is designed around, if you'd like to win at Magic, I'll explain. It's very easy to win at Magic.
Oh Jesus.
Uh-oh.
Take all your money and buy the best cards.
No.
And you can win.
No, you need to know how to play.
You need to know how to play.
Because I've seen people with really good cards get outwitted by people who are very smart.
I've played in tournaments where I have a deck that's worth $30 and I'll take out people that are sitting there with like $300-$400 top netted decks. And it's because they don't know how to play the game. It comes down to a strategy point. But like I say, that's the difference between a person that's... Like I say, yes, I will admit there's a reason why, obviously, if you have really expensive cards that you can play the game really well. It's because really expensive cards are good that way because... There's a reason why they're expensive, because they're really good cards. Cards that are worth 10 cents aren't very good. So that's why they're
all right. I'm sure our listeners don't care about Magic as a review.
No.
It's a gathering, people.
Hey, but on the factor of that, Magic Arena is coming out, which is a game which is being released.
Segway.
Which at the time it will teach, and we talk about reading and all that, and the way Magic is built with Magic Arena coming out, it actually teaches the child not only how to play the game, it also is the idea of making them read the cards. One of the hardest thing and the things that make you think about Magic, and even I'm doing this now, is you wouldn't believe what one word or one line makes a difference in a card. The idea that may or have to makes a huge difference, and that's where the thought process
definitely.
Is there. And that's like I say, I'm not saying that that's something that I would, as a teenager or something like that, if Magic's still around, I would probably do. But I mean, as first games to play, there's so many things nowadays to do that, right? There's so many accesses for kids to play games. It's just more or less.
Definitely.
the idea of what can you give a child in today's age with limiting what else they can have with the same thing. So, for example, we talked about tablets. Great. Perfect. I get them to learn something on a tablet. But that means they have to have data. That means they have to have internet. Which means, unless I'm a very proactive parent, YouTube could be accessed through that. And I'm not saying YouTube's bad. YouTube's good. They could look up things like, oh, I'm going to look up on YouTube on how to do this thing in Minecraft because I want to learn how to do it. Fantastic.
Then it links you to 15 other videos that are not appropriate.
They can also look up how to breastfeed. And they don't censor that. Because on YouTube, any tutorial videos are uncensored.
Joe, am I the only one wondering why he knows that there's breastfeeding videos?
Hey man,
on YouTube,
if you look up the most viewed videos,
he can do whatever he wants to do in his free time.
You look up the most viewed videos, because as for me, I want to know how to build up my YouTube channel and build up the because you guys check out the Proven Gamer YouTube channel, and you know what, I've been researching on how we can help build our channel and bring the best content to you guys, and so I look what videos are popular. And what videos have massive amount of views.
Oh, yeah. Tutorials and people popping pimples.
Yeah. Popping pimples. Anything uncensored that should be censored are super popular on YouTube.
I don't get it.
It's because people are just interested in that stuff. I'm not saying...
Anyway, Kali, bring this train back on track.
Thank you.
Fucking
A. So, another good game I thought about is Mario Maker.
No.
I think Mario Maker is a good game.
As a first starter game, I think when a kid needs to start out playing video games, he needs to get, like, the dexterity down. He needs to get, like, all right, this button, when I press it, it does this.
Yeah, so what...
And this button does this.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It's easy.
Yeah, but what if Mario Maker was just them playing the levels instead of the idea...
That's fine.
So the idea that, hey, I go to this level, that I run forward, it plays music. Because there are levels like that on Mario Maker. And they're like, hey, I like this. I move
plus
forward.
You can make simple levels. You can make simple, easy levels for kids.
It's a good creation tool, though.
And it's also you can teach it. I think it's neat that you could do it on a teaching factor. So it's like, hey, look. And it's like, hey, look, Dad can put this with this and does this. And they're like, oh my God, it looks so cool.
I mean, it's like virtual Legos, really. If you really think about it. And it's really, and Nintendo keeps it really safe for kids.
Yeah.
And then that's why you can't find anybody's fucking levels.
And if you want games, like, less teaching games, we can go into, like, the Lego games. A lot of the Lego games are very kid-appropriate, they're very adult-appropriate, and they're very funny.
Those games rule. I'm a big component of, I love Lego games.
I will
admit. And Platinum Lego Dimensions.
I will admit, I've actually never owned or played a full-release Lego game.
Dude, we need to co-op a Lego game.
Well, we do have Extra Life coming up, Joe. I know Tricky's going to be doing probably everything Lego, but...
Well, because we have to play a kid-friendly game now. So
I have the Lego Harry Potter games.
I have both of those. Well, I have
they did release them for PS4.
I have it, yeah. It's years 1 through 4 and 5 through 7. They're in, like, a bundle. So, Lego games are great. I love the Lego games. My favorite one, if you had to start a kid off with a Lego game, I would say that I would start them off with, like, Lego Star Wars, like, complete saga. Because not only can you relive all the Star Wars movies, but you can play them in Lego form, and I think that's pretty badass. And then, Corey, what do you think are good kids' games?
For me, like I said, just the classics, for sure, like the regular Mario games. And that's why I say, like, now looking back on it, Mario Maker actually makes a lot of sense. Because it's the idea of I can give them the original games.
Now, what about, like, something super simplistic like Kirby?
Kirby's a good game. By the way, I just want to say with the Lego games, not Star Wars. Everybody knows Star Wars sucks. But let's continue on to the Kirby games. Kirby's a great game.
Wait.
I like how she just totally comes in.
Are you going to die on that sword? Because that's
your Lego Star Wars, and then tries to segue it right away.
Hashtag remove Kali from her own show for hating Star Wars. If we get 500 retweets, she's gone. From her own show.
Well, last time we tried this whole retweet thing, Joe, it worked out to one, which was me. So it didn't work out very well. I did think about the possibility of retweeting it myself 900 times and having my own Twitter feed look 900 times that, you know, Switch is better than the Vita. But I'm sure I didn't want my Twitter feed to just look like I was spamming myself and get banned from Twitter for spamming myself. So
yeah, don't spam yourself. Eat spam, don't spam yourself.
I mean, for me, that's... It's hard to say. I mean, and there's so many games available right now. What I think are great games would be something like Journey.
I think Journey's too complex for a kid.
No, it is, but it's not.
It's very hard to figure out where to go in that game. It really is. Like,
nah, but that's what I'm saying is games... Okay, so games like Journey, games like... I'm talking about from the idea of, like, say we have a child that... We're talking about a child that's played Mario Maker, played the Lego games. I think for a young child, Journey... if the viewers don't know, Joe is now like doing the good old fitness after Jean 2 o'clock. Yeah, there you go. The good old go talk 2 a.m. fitness program that tries to make me subscribe and lose weight so I can get a better bum.
Hey man, I gotta exercise sometime. I'm killing 2 birds with 1 stone. Exercising and hosting a podcast. It's all good.
Yeah.
My thing is, like, I don't think, like, I never had, like, my parents were pretty cool with, like, letting me play whatever games I kind of wanted when I was a kid, and just telling me that, like, you understand that this stuff is not okay, right? Like, you can't just go shoot somebody. It's not okay. But they...
You're absolutely right, and many parents don't realize that. When they see something that's mature rated, they're thinking, oh, it's just a little violence. My kid's not going to go shoot something. They don't realize the implications of some of these games.
Well, and that's why I think it depends on, like I say, how you raise your... I mean, you got to remember, for me, video games, I was grounded until I was 14, so a lot of the games I played that were mature rated or teen rated, I didn't play till
I was... It was okay for you to play that? Yeah.
By the time I was 15, I mean, it was like, oh, okay. I can play that. And that's the thing. It's the difference of... See, and that's where the difference comes in. Like, for me, I would let my child play Infamous. I would let my child play, like, a young child play Infamous, play a Telltale game, not...
My thing is, if you're going to let your child watch, like, The Walking Dead, then they can play The Last of Us.
I'm not going to let my...
But I'm saying, like, if they can watch stuff like that, then they can play a game like The Last of Us.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. So the why I say Infamous is because Infamous gives them the choice. Now, unlike a game like Grand Theft Auto, where you're, like, that's the big thing. I think Grand Theft Auto is one of the worst games you can give to your kids, and it's because the idea is that there is no alternative. It doesn't let your child have the choice to say, I don't feel like grabbing a gun and shooting a bunch of people. No, it's not easy to... Oh, it's really easy just to shoot a hooker and...
Like, you can just free roam and follow all the traffic safety laws.
Like, I mean, I had my buddy's little brother at the age of, like, 10 was playing Grand Theft Auto. And, oh my goodness, the amount of language that would come out of that child or the things he would say based because he had played Grand Theft Auto at such a young age. Like, that one day I walk in and, no doubt of a lie, he's sitting there shooting hookers, and I ask him, I'm like, why are you doing that? And he's like, because I need money, bitch. I shoot hookers all day. This is a 10-year-old. This is a 10-year-old. And that's what I mean. And so,
exactly.
And so the idea was, is obviously as he got older, he kind of learned what was good and bad, thank goodness. But that's where we didn't let him talk like that. That's also part of the thing. If I ever heard him say something like that, I was like, no, well, I guess you're not playing games anymore. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you're cut off. And I'm like, turn up. And I would fully do that. And so, like, that's... He did learn, because of that, what was good and bad. But if someone's not paying attention, that's where, like I say, a game with Infamous, if I'm watching the person play the game, or my child play the game, it'd be like, hey, that's good job that you saved that person. It builds they get the decision to make something. They get the choice to make a choice of what the good or the bad, like, you know, and I'm not saying, like, this is not a 5-year-old, this is like an 8 or 9-year-old, and they get the choice of making that good or bad decision and making the decision to continue on. And like I say, that's where, with that, that's where I think a game like that or any other type of games where they get choices are great for that. Not a game where they can just openly kill everyone, but a game where they have the choice to help people and the choice to be good, and the superhero games and stuff like that. And that's where I think superhero games are great for that. That's why I'm kind of glad that a new Avenger game coming out from Square Enix. And that's why I say, like, even Final Fantasy games, right? I think Final Fantasy games are great for that because it's violent. It's a sword, usually, or magic.
No blood, though. There's no blood, though.
That's what I'm saying. So there's no blood. It's a fantasy. Also, the difference is it's a fantasy world. It's not a world that's based off our own. So it's not the idea that they're in a world that looks something like ours. They're not going into a city that looks like a city that we would normally have. They're not talking to... They're not sitting there beating up a cat that looks exactly like a cat. They're not going and beating up a deer. They're beating up some giant beast that's got gnarled teeth. And you know what? In all honesty, if a child sees a giant, you know, thing that looks like a behemoth in the middle of my backyard and decides at that point that he wants to shoot or kill it, I'm going to totally be fine with that because, you know, that should probably be shot because that things look scary as hell. Whereas... And that's
heard it here, folks, on Game Stuff.
Yeah.
If a behemoth was here, it should be shot.
It should. I mean, if it's going to run and, like, charge my house and, like, try to light me on fire, I'm
Behemoth life matters.
But that's the thing, right? And so that's where those types of games, I think, are great for that, is because it teaches them, and it also teaches them strategy. Like, we talked about, literally, the idea of playing Final Fantasy, especially the old Final Fantasy games. It gives them a story. It makes them interested. It gives them something to read. It gets them to imagine things. It gets them to, like, Final Fantasy 9 and 7, you can't just beat those by just pushing forward and going.
You can, but you're not really going to get the full gist of what's going on.
Well, no, I'm saying...
And
I'm
God forbid you ever shut the game off. You'll never know where to go because back in the day...
I did that, yeah.
If you didn't pay attention when that one piece of text was highlighted blue and told you where to go, you'd be lost for, like, 16 hours just circling the fucking map.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yes,
that's
so I don't know if Final Fantasies are quite appropriate for children, because in America we have quite a different culture than Japanese. I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't quite understand the storyline of Final Fantasy, and I missed those important texts because it's a different culture.
I get what you're saying. I mean, they do a pretty decent job of translating those games, in a sense, but, like, obviously the different cultural aspects of the game that they can't translate and that are pretty much just, you know, things such as, like, different things that exist only in Japanese culture, that's going to exist in any game, though. That's not just going to exist in Final Fantasy. That could exist in Mario. That can exist in Zelda. There's going to be things that you're never going to truly understand unless you research it.
Well, the other thing is, too, is if you actually look at our culture compared to the Japanese, because they have such a low standard of reading, technically, from our standpoint, you actually look at how their children are brought up, and they actually have less crime. Their children are more educated. Their children are have more of a drive to actually finish something.
Their children also go to school for 6 days a week.
Exactly. And, well, I know that, but the discipline's high for them as well. And like I say, the reason is for most of that is because they don't have a sensory law like we do. So the idea is that they can pretty much be experienced to something that should be linked for. And like I say, it's the idea of, it also comes to the idea of when we're recommending these games, if all of a sudden I just give my 8-year-old, hey, here's Final Fantasy X-2, have fun, and walk away. That's not something that you do with that. That's something where if I'm...
Put that shit in the trash.
I'm just talking...
That's true.
Okay, well, so Final Fantasy IX, Joe. I'm not just going to give Final Fantasy Final Fantasy IX and say, hey, here you go, have fun. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch them play through it. I'm going to help them through the process. I'm going to help. And that's where the thing is that that process of building.
Wait. Who helped you with Final Fantasy?
I was 15 years old and I had friends that helped me with Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I didn't have that kind of shit, man. I'm almost 40 years old. My parents had no idea what the hell video games.
And that's what I'm saying.
Arena style, that shit. Throw the kid in there.
But you talked about the idea of Minecraft, right? And where they're going to watch videos or find information that's linked to someone else that's written about the same stuff. And the same idea, I would love it to happen with Final Fantasy or something else.
No. Cut off your internet.
Kalai's going to fucking take a system and a controller and put their child in the wilderness and just say, here you go, play a fucking video game.
Here's Pong. Pong, right?
Here's Pong.
Figure it out. Once you get bored of this, grab two real sticks and a ball and figure it out. You'll have more fun that way.
But I mean, helping kids with video games isn't.
I'm not saying helping.
That's why my dad. No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying helping them. I'm saying make the experience with them. So what I'm saying by that is, so in Final Fantasy IX, if all of a sudden they come to a point where they're a tough boss battle, they continue battling, and I give them a little hint, or even do they just try to figure it on their own and they don't ask for help, and all of a sudden they beat that boss, I'm going to encourage them and say, you know what, good job on that. Because I think that's the big thing.
No, I agree. I don't think there's any problem sitting with your kid and playing video games.
I think, but that's the thing. I think that's the big difference is that there are games that I can give my child and let them be. And there's games that I think would, like Mario Maker, I think the coolest thing ever would be, hey, here you go. You build dad a level. Dad will try to complete this level.
I'm like, here you go.
And I will probably never be able to complete it because they'll be like, hey, look, the turtle button. Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. Here's Mario 64. This is how you learn how to game. Go.
Yeah.
I'll be back in an hour. Show me what you learned in an hour of playing this. If they're still in the courtyard, they have no luck. Like, I will never give them the controller again. If you're still in the courtyard in Mario 64 after an hour, there's actually another
view to help with your kids in video games, which I deem the frosty view. Have you heard of the frosty view?
No, what's the frosty
view? No, what was frosty?
You put them in the middle of the cold and they can't see anything?
No, frosty referring to Frosty from the Loot Bros. I had a discussion with him once, I think through Facebook.
Yeah.
Or I was listening to his podcast. He might have talked about it on his podcast.
Shout out to Frosty.
Shout out to Frosty. So here's the view. The first game your child plays, Dark Souls 3, and when he rage quits, he can become a lineman or a quarterback and make mommy and daddy lots of money so they can stay home and play video games.
Pretty solid idea.
That is a pretty solid idea.
Unless you have a hole in your wall or your kid develops.
That's like, pretty much, you know what? There's so many.
Aggressive behavior because he can't beat Dark Souls. Well, then you have a whole other bag.
That's pretty much like anything, though. That was like the funniest thing I ever read, being a Magic the Gathering player, is it's if you ever want your kids not to do drugs, teach them magic. They won't have any money for drugs.
Exactly. It's the same thing about gaming.
Let's wrap up our episode for our viewers here. I do have a question to the viewers, though. If you're a parent, come into our Facebook group and let us know what you think. What games do you give your kids? Which do you think is appropriate? Please let us know. It's the proven. You can go to our Facebook page, Game Stuff. You can also contact us on Twitter at Game Stuff Podcast. How can they find
Twitter,
you, Joe?
Twitter's just Game Stuff Cast.
It's Game Stuff Cast.
Yeah, Game Stuff Cast. That's okay.
How can they find you, Joe?
They can find me on Twitter at MrTMNT84. That's right. I'm also on PSN at the same handle, MrTMNT84. That's capital M, lowercase r, capital T, MNT84.
And what about you, Corey?
They can find me on the PlayStation Network at Agayu. A-G-U. A-G-U-I-U. They can also find me on Twitter at The Grounded Gamer. No E, double D. And they also can find me off easily on the Facebook page.
Okay, they can find me on Twitter at Kalai21. That's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. You can find me on the PlayStation Network at Miley1978, M-A-I-L-E. You can find me on the Xbox at Miley21. You can come into our Facebook group and have chat with me. You can contact me through the Game Stuff Twitter handle. You can also send us an email if you'd like to, gamestuff@provengamer.com. Now, we are a show presented by Proven Gamer, but there are other shows. If you like us, check out Trophy Horse, which is our flagship podcast for PlayStation. Go give them a listen. They're pretty good. They're really good, actually. You can listen to Nintendo Dual Screens if you really like the Nintendo podcast. Steve and Andy are pretty damn fun. And
yeah, Steve and Andy rule.
You can listen to The Smart Marks.
Ooh, yeah!
Our wrestling podcast. Now, before we end the show, I do want to thank Joe and Corey for doing the opposite with us this week.
Thank you for bringing a show on me on the last minute.
Thank you, Kalai, for coming on as well.
I wanted to make sure you got into the episode we had.
Oh, thanks.
Well, Joe, you didn't come up. You didn't come up with the topic this week, so you know obviously you'd make it.
Here's my topic. I showed up.
That is your topic. I also want to thank Tricky and the Proven Gamer Network for hosting us. Also, I want to thank some of our supporting people. Isaac Sago, who did our logo. You can find him at isaacsago.carbonmade.com. I would also like to thank the band Take Away the Ugly that does our intro and outro song. The song that we're using is Don't Panic. You can find them on Bandcamp. If you go to our, if you look at our post on provengamer.com, I do have links to their website where you can just click on the link and go check them out. So, thank you, audience, for joining this week for episode number.
Hey, Kalai, if you want to buy a video game, how do you do that using Amazon link on provengamer.com?
You go to provengamer.com, click on the Amazon link, and do all your regular shopping. Kalai is getting tired. So,
that's okay.
Remember, use that link. It gives us a little kickback and helps keep the show free.
Yes.
Kalai's tired, so Kalai, say goodbye.
We will see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
Check you later, guys.
Stay grounded.